Yes, yes, it's the Step Up Podcast. I'm Raoul Reynolds. If you want to support this podcast, you can subscribe on iTunes or YouTube, share it with your friends, drop a comment, all that sort of business. This is the first of three on meditation, on mindfulness. Enjoy.
You're listening to the Step Up Podcast.
Jacob, at They All Say Hey on Twitter says, Raoul, what is your most memorable meditation experience? How did it persuade / influence you? I've used meditation a lot for the last year and a half. There's a specific instance that I remember on our last European tour, actually. I was having a run of bad shows. The crowds were great. The gigs were great. But just personally, I couldn't get into them. My mind was kind of elsewhere. I was dealing with a lot of anxiety, a lot of shit relentlessly going round and round in my head. So the next night, I decided to meditate just for 20 minutes, about an hour before our show, thinking it might put me in a better mindset for the show. And it totally did. It was a completely different performance for me. I was far more in the moment on stage. I was far more focused. I was less worried about how I appeared on stage. I can often get quite worried about, oh, do people think that I'm not enjoying it, that I'm not putting my heart into it? You know, I had that sort of anxiety going on. That was completely silenced. And I was just able to enjoy the show without any of that shit that had been bothering me beforehand. And that's the power of mindfulness, really. Mindfulness meditation can be a huge help for mental health in general, for anxiety, for depression. It can help dealing with stress. But also, it's just a great tool for increasing focus, empathy, or even just your well-being, your happiness in general. So that's why I'm going to do this podcast all about meditation and specifically mindfulness meditation. I think it's something that's really quite simple, but often misunderstood or misrepresented. And I know I've been threatening to do a podcast on meditation for a while on Twitter. And it's taken a while because I wanted it to be quite detailed, quite thorough, but without just being me rambling on, without it getting too esoteric. Because the nature is, if I don't know who's listening to this podcast. Some of you may know a lot about it. Some of you may have never have heard of it, or at least never had any experience with meditation. Some of you may be skeptical. Some of you may be just bloody fed up of hearing about it. It is quite in vogue at the moment in many circles. I even saw the latest Skype update has a yoga emoji on it. So it's becoming quite ubiquitous. But yeah, hopefully this podcast will have something for everyone. So whether you practice meditation already or whether you have completely no idea about it, you should get something out of this, hopefully. So Joanna, at Joanna Likes Food on Twitter, says, any tips on how to get started? I've tried several apps, but the whole thing is rather intimidating and hard to stick to. I agree. I absolutely agree. Howie WJ Watts on Twitter says, how does someone with no experience get started? I'm totally going to mispronounce this, so my apologies, mate. Aoful Burke says, tips on where to start as someone with no previous knowledge or experience. Thanks. I guess the first question is, why am I doing a podcast on meditation, on mindfulness? I have very little experience. I've been doing it for about a year and a half, intermittently for a year and a half. So I have no qualifications whatsoever. I'm not a yogi. I'm not a teacher of spiritual enlightenment. I'm not a Zen master. But I think that's exactly why it's a good idea for me to do this, for me to spill the beans, let you know about my experiences with meditation so far. Hopefully, you know, coming from someone who isn't an enlightened teacher, it perhaps may seem less alien or slightly more relatable, maybe less intimidating. I think often the world of meditation can seem very spiritual, sometimes a bit elitist or at least mystical, and it's often misrepresented. I think as well, being a young-ish male and coming from a sort of rock scene, you know, alternative background, punk scene, whatever, these are worlds that aren't normally brought together. Meditation isn't really spoken about in the worlds of young males or coming, you know, from the sort of alternative scene either. I think it's often those worlds are thought of as quite almost butch, really, aren't they? Or sort of quite masculine in some ways. And for some reason, meditation is often thought as quite feminine. And just, yeah, isn't talked about or isn't addressed or at worst isn't respected. And yeah, so I'm just going to try and change that by sharing my experiences. It's in the last sort of century or few centuries, I suppose, that the West has begun to wake up to Eastern traditions. And it's only in the recent decades that we've seen science sort of be able to understand and begin to confirm and corroborate the long list of benefits to meditation, as it's finally been brought, you know, properly into the Western psyche, if you like. So meditation is now thought of as a great tool for mental health and well-being. If the gym is for your physical well-being, meditation is for your mental well-being. And I think at the moment we're beginning to see meditation even be introduced into schools, or primary schools even as well. And I don't think it's long before we see meditation in some form being introduced into the curriculum, really, to become sort of part of the compulsory day-to-day subjects that you get, that you learn at school.
These 10 and 11-year-olds are focusing on their breathing and learning to let go of any destructive thoughts.
Last year, we decided to trial it across three classes in the school. We had such success with it, and it had an impact on behaviour, concentration, learning. So we decided that this year we were going to roll it out to every class, ranging from our nursery children to our year sixes. And they all do half an hour fortnightly.
How does it make you feel inside?
Happy.
My passion is to get this on the national curriculum because I've been working in schools now for over 10 years. We're creatures of habit. And so if we can take up a good habit like this, then we can change the way we behave.
I think it's strange to think that school is about learning, i.e. using and expanding one's mind. But at no point do they teach you about the nature of your mind, you know, how it works. We're seldom given any insight into the true nature of our reality. And also considering what a big impact meditation can have on our concentration, on our focus, it could definitely aid revision as well. All right, so let's jump right into the basics. The reality is you can almost think of our minds as having like two modes. Now, the first is thinking mode. This is your internal narrative, the chatter that goes on relentlessly in our minds every minute of the day, the constant planning, evaluating, memorizing, recalling. Now, evolution has endowed us with a mind that actually often highlights or concentrates on the bad. Now, this is just a basic survival instinct, really. Our ancestors had to be alert. To survive, you had to pay extra attention to the threatening information, the negative information, purely because, for example, remembering where that saber-toothed tiger den was could ultimately increase the odds of your survival. So concentrating on the negative, on the threatening, is a piece of evolutionary software, if you like, that has kept us alive. Nowadays, though, with much of nature conquered, or at least safely managed, it often translates to more trivial things. The things going relentlessly around our head are things like, oh, why did I say that silly thing? Oh, why haven't I got a reply to the text that I just sent? You know, do they not care about me? Oh, did I lock the door? Or I'm so unattractive, I'm so unfit. Oh, I shouldn't have eaten that. Oh, I should be working. When we're lost in thought, we're often being overly self-critical. And we obsess about things personal to us. In psychology, this is called rumination. It's that compulsive, focused attention on the things that distress you, basically, and the possible causes of those things and the consequences and the potential bad events that could come in the future. This is the basis of stress and anxiety, and they permeate through us all. And this is the same reason that the news stories that sell the most papers are the frightening, shocking, predominantly negative news stories, as our attention is naturally drawn to them. Now, when our attention is focused on thinking or in thinking mode, This also includes the moments where you're not even aware you're thinking. Have you ever had that where, I don't know, perhaps you're on the bus and you just, maybe your stop just comes up and you're like, oh, that's just flown by. I wasn't even aware that time went by. It happens a lot when you're driving as well. You just go into autopilot and you can't remember the last sort of few turns you made or the last bit of motorway you drove down. It's basically the moments where you're not really conscious or in control of your thoughts. Now, the second mode can be thought of as your sensing mode. And in everyday life, that just usually chugs along in the background. But it will jostle for attention and push thinking mode out the way when you hear a particularly loud sound or when you bump yourself on the head, when you see a car out of the corner of your eye, your periphery vision when you're crossing the road. At these points, sensing mode barges through into your focus and takes over. Now, here's the interesting part. There's extensive research on how beneficial it is to spend a little time every day with your attention allocated purely onto your senses. So, i.e. in sensing mode, if you like. Now, in these moments, your mind is prevented from reflexive thinking. You've stopped your mind from gallivanting off on one about what it thinks is happening, or projections into the future, different possibilities, or ruminating over the past, your worries, your anxieties, whatever it's doing. And if you practice concentrating on your senses regularly, you can begin to take a little more control of your mind throughout the day. Our attention is like a wild horse that wants to constantly run about all over the place, and it needs a bit of training. So at a very base level, that's all mindfulness really is. Meditation sounds mystical, majestic, magical, intangible, elitist, weird. It's not. It's a very simple concept. Mindfulness is simply being in the present, being with your senses, rather than lost in thought or lost in the onslaught of the modern world.
Don't center on your anxieties, Obi-Wan. Keep your concentration here and now where it belongs.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we shouldn't think or value thinking. I'm talking specifically about recognizing when thinking becomes overthinking, when it becomes relentless, unhelpful, prohibitive. Most of the time, our lives pass by incredibly fast. We're bombing it around in fifth gear. Now, if you're bumming it about in a car in fifth gear, no matter how good a driver you are, eventually one of the turns is going to throw you and you will lose control. Now, to make this a beautiful metaphor, when life throws you a sharp bend, you can lose control. And in modern life, stress, anxiety, depression are rife. Now, mindfulness is putting yourself back into a lower gear. It's enabling you to be ready and better prepared to take on life's twists and turns. So I'm going to have a quick look at different types of meditation that you get. Like in religion, there's lots of sects. I have to say that word very carefully. Not sex. There's not much sex in religion. There's lots of different sects, S-E-C-T-S. There's many different schools of thought, basically. And just like religion, mindfulness has its roots in many ancient methods. So we've got Zazen, which is basically Japanese for seated meditation. Vipassana, which means clear seeing. It's a word from an ancient Indian dialect that apparently the Buddha himself spoke. And finally, we've got Dzogchen, which is the Tibetan equivalent. Now, before I describe the practice of mindfulness, which I'm going to do in just a little bit, I just want to dispel some misconceptions. Because there's lots of other types of meditation and lots of widespread misconceptions in general. Possibly because the only language or lens we've had to approach meditation has been a religious one. And meditation techniques can often be shrouded in pseudo-scientific philosophy, just bollocks, basically. Or, if I want to be a bit more nice and well-mannered about it, waffle. Now, thankfully, the practices themselves can be extracted from the archaic religious concepts and dogmas, and we can learn the tactics of meditation without the doctrines. Now, I do like Russell Brand, and I'm thoroughly bored by the shit that everyone pompously flings at him, the constant belittlement based on his character and not particularly his content. But if I was to add just one small nugget to that barrage of shit that he gets, it'd be that I'm often put off what he has to say by his incessant focus on the mystical. He and many others often go off on long, winding, verbose monologues about, you know, connecting to pure consciousness, inner vibrations, connecting to the spirit of the source. I'm utterly uninterested in this sort of fluffy, cryptic, non-specific, arcane language. So basically what I'm saying here is, with all respect to religion, to history, to culture, I'm uninterested in chanting the names of certain deities. I don't believe the sounds of their names have healing powers. I don't want to try and make what many sects call the ultimate sound, which is described as sound without vibration. That obviously sounds like an absurd concept. It sounds like something said by someone who doesn't have a basic grasp of physics. Yogic flying is another one the many groups offer. You know, pay £1,000 and you basically learn to levitate. It's like, sure. Before I started mindfulness, I had meditation grouped with prayer, grouped with the mystical, the mysterious, the stuff that wasn't for me, basically. I'm quite a hardened atheist and none of that interested me. At Dylan Thunder on Twitter says, and I love this question, I hope you meant it to be asked in this voice, what is to be accomplished through meditation? And then he puts as a little caveat in brackets, I've never done it. Joe Barnes 763 on Twitter says, what are the benefits that you can gain from it? For me, a good way to describe what meditation achieves is this following, perhaps rather clumsy analogy. Meditation is often thought as something that's just simply about relaxing. That's not really what it is. It can be thought of as observing. It's like being a watchman, being on a lookout tower, watchtower. Imagine, say, you're playing a computer game, you're an archer in a watchtower, and there are these warriors charging towards your fortress. You can think of these warriors as your stresses and anxieties. By the way, this is an analogy that yogis would shiver at, or at least shake their heads in stern disapproval. This isn't a peaceful, serene analogy. In the mayhem, it's hard to shoot these bastards pelting at you, these warriors, these anxieties. Meditation is like the magic or the cheat that you would use that would slow time down in the game, giving you better vision over the battle below, enabling you to pick out each anxiety one by one. It enables you to better equip yourself, basically. But what are you equipping yourself with? There's a huge swathe of compelling scientific benefits to meditation. There's over 3,000 scientific studies that have been done. Are you ready for this colossal list? Here we go. Improves immune system function. It reduces chronic pain. It improves sleep. It lowers blood pressure. It shrinks gray matter associated with stress in the brain, and it grows the gray matter associated with compassion in the brain. It improves divergent thinking, which is basically creativity, the type of thinking that allows new ideas to be generated. After just 11 hours, people had structural changes in parts of the brain involved in monitoring focus and self-control. It improves relationships, communication, and satisfaction. It boosts working memory. It's related to less emotional reactivity. It improves self-insight, self-observation. It can even make music sound better. So not only is it a great way to de-excite our nervous system, to slow shit down, not only is it a great way to combat the modern age of relentless occurrence, the media onslaught, the bright, bustling, advertisement-filled world where everything is fighting for your attention, it also has a huge and quite diverse, wide range of benefits. So, what actually is mindfulness in practice? Now, instead of me trying to describe it to you, let's just go straight in and enable you to describe it to yourself in real time. So take a seat and make yourself comfortable. Right, you know the sarcastic slow clap? So when someone does something a bit stupid or lame, you all just clap really slowly with a sassy face. That's basically what we're going to do. Now, don't start clapping yet. I'm just going to describe it and then we'll do it. So if you can, find a quiet place where you're comfortable and you're not going to be disturbed. And what we're going to do is hold our hands out and give them a good hard clap. Like, don't hold back. When we do it, don't hold back. And after you clap, maybe just twice, maybe three times, nice and slowly. After the third time, you're going to immediately hold your hands where they naturally came to a stop. So it should sort of look like you're holding a football or cupping the cheeks of a person with a very wide face. Some of you might be listening to this whilst commuting, maybe on a train or a bus, and you might not want to do this. So what I would say is maybe stop the podcast and wait till you're home. Or, you know what, fuck it, no one cares. Just clap three times. Yeah, people might look at you for a few seconds and be like, what do you do that for? You know, then they're just going to go back to their phones, their books, whatever. But the following exercise will work best if you're somewhere quiet, somewhere where you won't be disturbed for a few minutes. All right, so you ready? Here we go. Right, now hold your hands out like you're holding a ball, a crystal ball. Now concentrate on your hands. You feel that buzzing, that tingling. Just really try and describe that sensation to yourself. Maybe you can feel a slight heat. Maybe you don't even like this sensation now you're actually focusing on it. But I mean, of course, it's going to become less and less intense. So just for now, try and really observe the sensation. Now try and hone in on your index fingers, your left and right index fingers. Really concentrate on how they feel. Now, if you can, let's hone in even further, zoom in even further. Try and concentrate on the tip of your pinkies, your little fingers. It's a bit tougher, isn't it, focusing on such a small surface area. Your hands are still probably tingling a little bit. Let's face our palms downwards now towards the floor and just slowly rest them on your lap, onto your thighs. And as well, just gently close your eyes. And all we're going to do here is just concentrate on that sensation of contact between your hands and your legs. Concentrate on your palms. You might feel that sensation of contact between your hands and your thighs a bit easier in your fingers, perhaps, than your palms. And now if you take one of your hands, doesn't matter which, and place it onto your stomach. Your stomach, your chest, the sort of lower area of the ribs, anywhere around there. And just place it flat. And what we need to do is just focus on the rising and falling of your chest or your stomach as you breathe. There'll be a subtle rise, a subtle expanding of the rib cage, perhaps, and then that sort of compacting, that retreating of the rib cage as it lowers as you breathe out. And I want you just to breathe normally. Try not to control your breathing. Just as you've been breathing this whole exercise without realizing it, now you're just observing it. You're just focusing on it without actually taking over. It's hard. Just try and sit back and observe your breathing. It's that rise and fall we're looking for. You might feel it, the sensation of the rising and the falling of the breath. You might feel it as strongest in your shoulders, maybe. You may feel them coming up and down. It'll be very subtle. You have to really look for it. You should be able to feel it in the palm of your hand, in the fingers of your hand as it rests against your chest. And well done. That was it. That was mindfulness. It's really that simple. It's just being mindful of your sensations. It's a technique that's easy to explain or teach. You know, I just did it. But it's hard to master. But luckily, it doesn't require any real effort. You don't have to develop a skill in visualizing something or memorizing something, repeating a mantra. You don't have to develop knowledge of deities or scripture. It's simply paying attention to what's happening in the present moment. And anything that takes you out of the present moment, perhaps a sound or a different sensation, an emotion, or just some thoughts take you away from the present moment, you just dismiss them. So you don't even particularly need a quiet room or a comfortable body, each sound, each sensation, each emotion that grabs your attention, that takes your focus, you simply approach with interest. Anything you notice is as good as any other object of meditation, and then you just dismiss it and go back to what you were focusing on. Now that's what separates the practice of mindfulness in terms of its ease of practice. You're simply putting your experience of life strictly in the present from moment to moment under the microscope. Now, by far the most widespread and most used method of mindfulness is simply sitting down and concentrating on one's breath, as we did towards the end of that last exercise. And the only point that is just important to reiterate, the distinction to make straight away is by concentrating on the breath, I don't mean controlling it. It's not a breathing exercise. It's an exercise in awareness, in vigilance. The breath is your vehicle that you use to be in the present moment. And I still find it quite hard not to control the breath, but just to simply observe it. And I also understand that that doesn't exactly sound like the most thrilling thing to do. So obviously you will get bored, your mind will run off, but there's no expectation of clearing your mind completely. That's not the aim. And that's another one of my pet hates with meditation. It's often presented in that way when teachers say, now clear your mind, you know, and then there's usually some sort of soundscape, sort of nice ethereal sound synth in the background and maybe some little chimes and clear your mind. Well, no, it's not really that simple, love, is it? Sabrina E, at Flow Sabi on Twitter says, Rao, how can I keep my mind quiet during meditation? Cody Snow at Ursus Tyrannus. How do you get your mind to stop racing? For decades, we have trained our minds to be distracted. So it will take a lot of time to train it to be undistracted. Your mind will drift off and you'll find yourself thinking about all sorts. You'll notice sounds, you'll notice different sensations, pressure, tightness, tingling, heaviness, lightness. But all you do is simply observe that your attention has been taken away. And when that sensation no longer dominates, it's no longer going, listen to me, you return your attention to the breath. And likewise, every time you realize you've started thinking about something else, simply be aware in that moment of whatever emotion or thought has risen in your mind or taken your attention, and then bring your attention back to the object of meditation, which in this case is your breath. So I'm going to talk a bit about the end goal now. Mindfulness is intended to highlight the nature of impermanence. Our thoughts and feelings are temporary, they're fleeting, ever-changing. During mindfulness practice, you will at some point suddenly realize, ah, shit, I've been thinking about this or so-and-so for the last 30 seconds. And then you'll acknowledge that and bring yourself back to the breath. And there's the big difference. You're not letting that thought flood your mind and dictate your emotions. You know, that reflexive thinking, being an automatic mode. You're simply aware of its presence and then you move back. So you don't let it like take over. You don't let yourself become inside the thought. So you don't have to have, you know, negative thoughts reflecting back and forth off the walls of your skull constantly, like flubber for hours on end. You can develop more control, basically. And with that comes increased performance, confidence, happiness, contentment, empathy, and calm. I'm going to use another clumsy analogy here. If you imagine a boat in rough seas, and there's little bits of just rubbish everywhere, like the Pacific Ocean, there's just bits of plastic, isn't there? What do they call it? The Great Pacific Garbage Dump or something. Now, if you imagine it's a hot tropical storm, you know, you're somewhere around the equator in this boat and you're trying to pick each bit of rubbish out of the water. Maybe you've got a net or something. Now, meditation sort of calms and cools these seas. So if you imagine it sort of cooling it so much that it becomes a sort of slush puppy, like an ice, it's just completely still. And you can just go around picking slowly and carefully each bit of rubbish out of the ice, nice and easy. So for anyone who wants to give mindfulness a go, to start practicing little exercises each day, the next podcast, there's going to be a full 15-minute exercise, which is just basically concentrating on the breath, and I'll be guiding you through the exercise, through the 15 minutes, and that'll get you started. For those of you who want to dive and delve straight in and much deeper from the start, there's some great apps that I can recommend. My favorite by quite a long shot, and one I've recommended countless times on Twitter, is an app called Headspace. You can check out this organization at headspace.com. I think what originally drew me to them in the first place was the there's so many apps where you still get the sort of background of, you know, the ethereal synths and the sort of just a general sort of mysticism in them. Whereas Headspace is, you know, it's even got a whole section dedicated to the science behind the exercises or behind mindfulness in general. I've been using Headspace for over a year. You get the first 10 days or the first 10 meditation exercises free. And after that, there's a whole wealth of different ways you can customize the packages for what it is you're interested in, be it, you know, combating depression or anxiety or bettering your performance or focus or anything. They've got all sorts of courses dedicated to different areas. I've still got a whole plethora of questions here from you guys on Twitter that I haven't been able to squeeze into this first podcast. So there'll also be another podcast after the one that will be the 15-minute exercise to get you started. And that will be basically me going through all of your questions. So if you have any more after listening to this episode, just hit me up at Rel Reynolds on Twitter. Big up for listening. This has been the Step Up Podcast on mindfulness. Number one, as I said, there'll be number two coming soon and the exercise coming soon. Bye.